Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast. It's where Andy Schmidt and I talk about comics and making them. My name is Joey Groh, and today Andy and I are going to be talking about a question that Andy got shot on Twitter from an artist that, Andy, you work with Rod on Cowl, so you got a little more background than maybe normal on the editorial side.
Yeah. So Rod's from Brazil, and we never met face to face until we met at C2E2 in Chicago a few weeks back now, and it was great to finally meet him in person. But yeah, and then he shot us this note on Twitter. I'm like, well, you could have just emailed me, but it was nice because he actually offered it up for the podcast, which I thought was cool. So I've worked with Rod. He's an amazing artist. If you don't know his work, Cowl was an amazing book. It's from Image Comics, written by Kyle Higgins, Alec. So it's great. And if you don't know his art, go to what is it? I think it's just Rod Rice Artist.
Tumblr.com.
Yep. And it's amazing. It's amazing stuff. It's real painterly. It's got like a sort of a Sienkiewicz-y sort of thing to it, but it's not by any means like a knockoff. I mean, he's very much his own artist.
Very much his own artist, and that's R-E-I-S. He's at Rod Rice on Twitter. Rod R-O-D-R-E-I-S. And Rod's question was actually about handling bad reviews of your comic book, which I don't have enough comics out there to have too many bad reviews other than maybe people walking past it at a convention and not wanting to pick it up. But that, you know, bad reviews in any kind of creative endeavor can take some getting used to. But specifically on the comic side, Andy, I'm sure in your career you've seen and read different things, especially some of the properties that, you know, people are going to let you know what they think about, say, killing a bunch of Avengers and relaunching that, or, you know, I'm sure that the Transformers G.I. Joe folks are also a pretty vocal bunch, and bad reviews, and I'm obviously talking a little more message boardy, but, you know, so much of reviews sometimes, and maybe that's a whole other discussion, reviews can happen very differently. You can have sites that dedicate themselves to having reviews and having reviewers and come at it from a constructive criticism kind of point of view, and then you can have it from a meh kind of, you know, dismissive, doesn't really give a lot of, I just don't like it kind of review. I don't know if you've had a starting point when you've worked with folks that are just starting out and getting bad reviews in their career.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it. Bad reviews suck, whether it's a single fan just telling you they didn't like the book or they're upset about something, to, you know, something that's a little bit more professional and polished and thought out, you know, on a website. I mean, the bottom line is you can't please everybody. You probably shouldn't try to please everybody. I think that's like that's going to end poorly. But you know, when I was first starting out, I mean, I mean, I'm an introvert by nature, and I didn't have a thick skin at all. And so just getting fan mail in, and of course, you know, when I was an assistant editor at, you know, at Marvel, working on, you know, nice, you know, big titles like Thor and Avengers and FF and all that sort of stuff, like people are writing in and they're telling you what they think, and they're comparing every issue that comes out to every issue that had ever come out, and the best one of those. So a lot of letters weren't very nice. A lot were very nice, and part of it was I grew a thick skin, but there's actually a way to help yourself do that, and one is remind yourself to read the positive stuff too. So if you know the way I used to work is we might get 15 letters in on a book that were positive, and one really kind of snarky negative one or something, and I'd go home with my feelings hurt. Which sounds like I'm just a big child, but you know, I was in my early 20s, like like I was a big child. I'm still a big child, so. You know, and I would just focus on the negative ones, and sometimes I'd get angry if they were really mean spirited, and sometimes, you know, whatever. I don't have, I'll be honest here, I don't have the best track record of interacting with fans online. Like I said, I'm introverted by nature. I tend to just sort of say what I mean. I can be polite usually, but I'm I I don't mind disagreeing with people. And part of it is just knowing, taking confidence that you did your best in the time that was given. And I think that's where a lot of the bad reviews sort of come from. The ones that hurt us are the ones where, like, that's right, I could have done better.
Right.
Except that usually you couldn't have done better in the amount of time. There's one, like, the most reviled thing I ever worked on was a book called Transformers Continuum. So we were launching the first Transformers ongoing series in like 20 years, basically. There was another one that lasted like 7 issues, so I'm not sure that counts as ongoing. But we were trying to make a big deal about it, and we were trying to get new fans, but more like lapsed Transformers fans in. But we were 6 years into a pretty elaborate, you know, convoluted continuity in there, and we were trying to give them a jumping on point. So at the last minute, we decided to do this book called Transformers Continuum that was not a comic, but it took panels from comics, and it was all 5 years worth of Transformers comics that we had done at IDW summarized for a new reader. And I had one weekend to write it.
Wow.
So I spent that weekend reading 75 Transformers comics, summarizing them, and then going back and editing it to try and make it a little bit more palatable for the new reader. So I went into it with this eye of, it's okay if it's not always factually accurate, as long as it doesn't make a problem for a new reader. So if I can sort of gloss over something or you know, whatever, I made that decision in a couple of places, which would have been fine for new readers who were jumping on. What I didn't anticipate was all of the current readers reading it and going, this guy who's the editor of the franchise doesn't even know what happened in these books. because I took one or two in particular pretty liberal, you know, edits on it. And in retrospect, I realize now that the book was going to be read by them. And so my sort of the defense online was like, well, I didn't actually write it for you. And I know that we're not going to be using this, this, and this, which are the things that you're upset that I merged or I glossed over. I know we're not using those for at least a year in any of the books. Hatred, you know, was just streaming, you know, venom was just streaming in. And I still, when I meet like Transformers comics, diehard Transformers comics fans, I still get a little nervous. they're going to throw something at me. Now, if you look at all of the work I did as editor on Transformers, a lot of it was taken very positively, and I was trying to push boundaries here and there. And so there were a lot of growing pains. There were a lot of people, you know, older fans or longer time fans, not necessarily older in age, who got upset by certain things, but then who also liked certain things. So for every one thing I did that people really that was trying to push the boundaries outside of the norm that upset some people, there was usually another project that was also pushing things out of the norm, but pushed them in a way that they really liked. And one of the things that, you know, fans can do is they can just focus on the negative or they can focus on the positive. And so what I look for in those reviews that are primarily negative is I look for something that's useful. Is what they're telling me something that is actually important to me? Because sometimes there would be, you know, and I'm talking like from a craft standpoint, like their opinion is important to me. I don't want to upset anybody, but is there anything in there of value that I can use to make the next comic better? Whether it's in the same, you know, comic line or the same franchise, or whether it's just, can I just make my next comic, whatever it is, better because I've gotten this information? And so I do look for things, but there are also clues. If somebody's really heated, it tends not to have a lot of useful stuff in it because they're just so passionate about whatever it is that they like. There's a lot of people get upset because it's not the book that they thought it should be or they wanted it to be, but that doesn't mean that it's not a good book. And so you have to sort through them that way and just remind yourself, like, okay, this person is disappointed because it's not the book that they wanted it to be. We got a review on Drones number 1 that came out from somebody that really wanted that book to be very essentially pro-war, pro-drone warfare, pro, you know, pro go get a gung ho military, and it's not that.
Right.
It's not the opposite of that. it's an exploration of ideas and that sort of thing. So, but you know, this particular reviewer really wanted it to be this, like, you know, the military might makes, you know, to my mind, sort of might makes right sort of thing. And it wasn't that, and so it was a bad review. But it didn't review the book that was there. It reviewed a book that wasn't there. And so you kind of look for those things, and you can start to sort of, you can start to take the pain away when you realize that, okay, that person was let down, which is unfortunate, but they were let down because they didn't take the book on its own terms, or, you know, but you do look for, I mean, it's not like I haven't gotten a ton of constructive feedback from a negative review or something. And you try and suck it up. No, you did the best job you could in the time frame you're given. That's why I brought up that Transformers thing, is because I had a weekend to read 72 comics, summarize them, and try and put them in a book for new readers with some kind of voice to it. I mean, it was a nigh impossible task. That's basically it. The hardest reviews are the ones that are really articulate, well written, well thought out, and right. Those, you know, and negative. Those are the ones that to me now are hardest to swallow, because you read it and you're like, okay, that's a really smart review, and I clearly made those mistakes, and I shouldn't have, and like, this could have been a lot better. And you do your best to protect against that as a writer. You know, I've got the people I show my stuff to, and they catch a lot of things that you know, I'm too close to it to see. Or you know, as an artist, you know, most artists are sharing their work with other artists and are giving comments. So you try and catch as much stuff as you can before it goes out the door. But at the end of the day, it's a job. It needs to go out the door. And it's never going to be perfect, and that's okay. And you got to get to that point where you're comfortable with that.
I think you separated out kind of a lot of different boxes in there, which is probably my way of thinking about it too. You know, whenever it's that double-edged sword, right? Whenever everybody's telling you how great you are and how awesome it is, you can't take that all the way either without kind of parsing through what was liked, or is it just some sort of reaction to the overall thing, or do they really love, if you're working on a property that people know, they just really love more of what they love. But negative reviews, yeah, that's, again, not having dealt with that a lot, I have it more on the video side. If we have a project that gets seen by a lot of people, and sometimes if we do something that's sports related, that's where I see a lot of fans commenting. And I try to remind myself, again, with the good and bad reviews, that parse through it and see what's there. If people respond well to it, and you know, it moves the ball, it moves units, people come back for the next one, you know, I guess in comics, keep buying it, then something is probably clicking. But as far as any kind of what could be construed as negative, yeah, I look for that now. I want that reaction. I want people to take something that I put together in a constructive way. You mentioned sending things around to friends or collaborators. You want it taken apart so you can improve it. And that doesn't always mean that you can stop the train and have enough time to go back and, you know, fix everything from the beginning, which likely you're not having to do. But, you know, there's only so much you can try to move from good to great, or whatever the expression is, that you just have to get something out there. And I think with having such an instantaneous way to react to something, getting something digitally the morning that it comes out and immediately starting to say, not very good, you read it on the train, it's such a different world in so many ways than, you know, when I first started reading comics. And it was a letter writing process, which I think made you have to be a little more articulate and think things out, because you had to sit down and compose, either typing or writing out, versus a quick hit on Twitter or Facebook. Or obviously people that are blogging or writing reviews are also taking some amount of time, but having some kind of constructive dialogue always seems like it's what you want, right? It's what you want when you hear a no from somebody about publishing your project. You love for them to give you a little bit of an explanation that, this isn't what we're looking for. We like these elements. We'd rather it be, you know, we're aiming for girls or all ages, or we're not really doing this because we have a similar book, or, you know, some kind of response to it rather than just no, which is certainly the prerogative to get from anybody that you're pitching to. But you want to have that takeaway where your next time at bat you're doing better. I don't know anybody that's making stuff that, you know, doesn't want people to think that they don't want it to not be their best effort. You're always trying to put your best foot forward, and sometimes that might be a little more duct tape than you'd like just based on timelines in life.
Right. Yeah, and sort of anecdotally, I think this was when I was at Marvel. I wrote and I had a column for a while that I did at one of the news sites, and I did one about comic book reviews, and I wrote out like what I thought made for a good review, and I you know credited Isaac Asimov in the thing. I said I quoted this essay that he had written about reviews and what makes for a good review and how they're written and all that sort of stuff. And I essentially applied it to comics, you know, and there are obviously differences from the prose like that he was discussing in comics. And I laid out this sort of thing about why, you know, many comics reviews that I read are not great reviews. So I was sort of reviewing reviewers, and I didn't do anything specific. Like I didn't have any particular target. It was just that it interested me, and man, all these websites came out of the, you know, people who wrote for websites came out of the woodwork, you know, telling me how terrible I was for, you know, writing this and why I was wrong and all this sort of stuff. And I had one guy that was an editor of one of a decent size, you know, website that did reviews, email me and tell me that he made sure that everybody on his staff read it.
Oh wow.
And he thought it was a really good article, but he said that then they all had a conversation amongst themselves, and he said, you know, some of them got kind of heated, and I didn't write it in an inflammatory way, at least I didn't think I did, but you know it was critical. I was reviewing the reviewers, which was kind of a nice change, but it was neat to get that, you know, that somebody who was reviewing like took it, read it, got the critical thinking out of it, and started applying it. And then I didn't, you know, I've kept up with that particular guy since. And the reviews on those websites, I did think started to improve. Now, obviously, they were influenced on by the article that I wrote, but to whatever degree. But you know, I think it's also important for people that are doing a review to realize that they have a responsibility to do their job well. As much as I'm trying to do the best I can do in my time, as are all the creators I might be working with, it's, you know, their job to do the best job they can on their reviews. Now, I don't think that's necessarily true of fans. You know, if fans want to say meh, that's fine. You're a fan. You're not trying to do a professional review. But I mean, ultimately, the other thing from negative feedback is that there is a good takeaway, which is people are reading and people are passionate. They're passionate enough. I mean, it's weird because to say like they're passionate enough to complain, but if they're passionate enough to complain, then that means there's something that they are responding to that they want to like about it or whatnot. So I think, you know, with all that sort of stuff, it's you know, there are positive takes on it. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be honest about, you know, the stuff that's negative and if there's real value in the criticism. I mean, we definitely want to get that. And that's one of the ways that we get better, you know. So
that's it. And that's probably my chief takeaway that I try to is the value in the criticism. Look for that and figure out how to move forward. And boy, it is just such a moving train doing any kind of ongoing career where you're not just doing art, air quotes art, but you're also on the business side. You're also on the outreach side. So it's that thing that you do wonder how any comics ever get made at the end of the day, and certainly not an excuse to phone it in or not try to do your best. But yeah, I think consistency and understanding and like you said, sometimes it's just not for you. They might not be going in the direction that is a story that you click with, and I think being able to recognize that also is a little bit of a skill when you're reading something, is to say, you know what, I'm just not the audience, and this seems like it works really well for this audience, but that's not me, and that's where it is. Coming up in a few short days is a little comics festival. It's on the West Coast. You're going to be there.
Yeah,
San Diego Comic-Con. And you have multiple panels throughout the weekend, as well as walking around looking and talking comics.
Yeah, we got four panels. They should be up on the website, on the blog. They should be listed. But real quickly, on Thursday at the show, Comic Book Art, Making a Living Doing It, with Xander Cannon and Riley Brown and myself and one or two surprise guests, I think, there to talk about art and how to advance your career and how to get the most cash out of your art. Breaking Into Comics and Staying In is on Friday. That's at 3 p.m. with Scott Alley, the EIC at Dark Horse, Josh Williamson, Nailbiter and Ghosted writer C.B. Cebulski from Marvel. Closing the Deal, Everything You Need to Know About Publishing Deals and Contracts, is Friday evening at 8 p.m. So that one's late. Yes, stay late for that one. And then on Saturday, Childhood Dreams Come True, Writing Licensed Characters. That's Saturday at 4 p.m. With Joshua Williamson again, David Marshall, who is the Star Wars, was a Star Wars editor at Dark Horse, as well as many other licensed properties. Mike Costa, who's been writing Spider-Man and G.I. Joe, Charles Soule, Death of Wolverine, and you know, myself to chit-chat about the difference between writing for yourself, your creator-owned type stuff, and writing for these characters that have these histories and ultimately have other people that get to weigh in stronger than you. So there's going to be those, and then I'll be walking around just seeing folks. So if you know what I look like and you see me, feel free to stop and say hi. And if you listen to the podcast and you like it, let me know. It's always nice to hear. But yeah, that's coming up. It's Tuesday, so I'm on the plane tomorrow.
Nice. All the way to San Diego.
Yeah.
Sweet home San Diego. Hope you have a good show. I always feel like you guys all come back and you're exhausted and we don't hear from you for a week after because you get a little tired.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. And I'll actually, after this show, I'll actually be driving across the country, which would be pretty fun, actually. But yeah, that means you won't hear from me at all because I'll be in a car.
Yeah, but, yeah, just, you know, plan some tweets ahead of time. That's what you do.
I'll do that.
Well, if you have
that's what's coming up.
If you have a question you'd like to hear talked about on the show, you can email info@comicexperience.com. You can tweet at Comic Experience. That's Andy on Twitter, just like Rod Reis did, and that's at Rod, R-O-D-R-E-I-S, and you can go follow Rod, and definitely check out Cal, check out his Tumblr, check out all of his awesome art. Until next time, keep making comics.